Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Women during the 1950s and 60s fought hard for the right to work outside the home. Now those career women are approaching retirement age. So what will retirement look like for women who are highly educated, successful, and in many ways have defined themselves by their achievement in the workplace? Today on the program, retirement expert Helen Dennis joins us to talk about a new model for retirement that she calls Project Renewment. And Helen Dennis, welcome to the program. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Good morning.
Helen Dennis is a national expert in aging, retirement, and employment. She's written about aging for the Wall Street Journal. She was a delegate to the White House Conference on Aging, and she is co-author of the book Project Renewment, which addresses the unique issues of retiring women. She joins us from a studio in Manhattan Beach, California. Helen Dennis will present the lecture, The New Retirement, A Unique Time for Professional Women, on Friday, that's tomorrow, May 18th at 7 p.m., and the lecture will be at the Main City Library here in Salt Lake City. We'll have more details on that as we go. Later on in the program, New York Times bestselling author Steve Barry will join us to talk about writing thrillers and preserving history. But first, Project Renewment. How much of your identity is wrapped up in your career? Are you looking forward to retirement with optimism or uncertainty? If you have questions or comments about the unique challenges retirement brings for working women, you can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Helen Dennis, you're an expert on aging and employment. What got you thinking about women and retirement?
Well, it actually began when my colleague, Bernice Bratter and co-author, called me with a question. And she said, has anything been written, or has it even been on the radar screen, about career women who have felt passionate about their work and how they look to the future? And Bernice, who is an extremely professional and well-put-together woman, said, I'm just retiring from the Women's Foundation, and I'm having a problem. So what's out there for women like me?
So this came from a personal experience.
It came from I certainly have interest in the broad issues of aging, but this really focused my attention that this is an area that's important. And her question was, do you have any interest? And I said, on two levels. One, professionally, because there really hasn't been anything addressed in the topic. And two, personally, you know, I am maturing and aging and a professional woman.
You say that this is the first and largest generation of women in history who have spent much of their adult lives in the workplace. Talk a little bit about this demographic shift.
Well, I should say this generation that's identifying this as an issue, we could call them the silent generation. We're not so silent anymore because we were the smallest cohort. But it was also a very active cohort that moved the women's movement forward and civil rights. And it's a first generation to really identify with their work so strongly. And there were increasing numbers. And because it's new, there were no role models. You know, can't look to my mother's generation to figure out how to do it. So this is really a first, you know. And behind us are 78 million boomer women. Well, I would say about 40 million are women, many of whom have higher education and professions, who are going to be looking towards a future to say what's next. And I should also add, when we look at this, let's say, very leading edge of the boomer generation of the silence, they lived before and after the women's movement. And during the women's movement, women said, you know, is this all there is? These same women are now maturing in their 60s, late 50s, 60s, 70s, and say, wait a minute, I've had my career, which has been fabulous. I am a family woman, which has been terrific. I've engaged in my community, which is great. Now what? What is next? And that's really what this book focuses on, how to get there and how to define it for yourself.
Historically, how have we retired? And I'm not just talking about women here, but I mean, the history of retirement seems to be an innovation of the Industrial Revolution. Is that when we started thinking about what retirement means and is?
Oh, exactly. And there was a push to get your older employees moving out to make room for the young ones. But there were certain assumptions. The assumptions were that if you are older, you really don't perform as well, and you may be rigid, and a lot of stereotypes are wrapped up with that. But now we have a whole new way of looking at retirement. I mean, it's not living on the periphery of life. This is men and women. With most people who look forward to that next chapter are not looking at a lesser life. Certainly economic security is key, but people are still looking for peak experiences. That's different. That's different from previous generations, and the opportunities are there.
Helen Dennis, she is a national expert in aging, retirement, and employment, and her book is Project Renewment, which addresses the unique issues of retiring women. She'll present the lecture, The New Retirement, a Unique Time for Professional Women, tomorrow night at 7 here at the City Library in Salt Lake City. If you'd like to join our conversation about retirement issues surrounding working women, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. So I guess what is the differentiation between retirement for men and retirement for women? I mean, in some ways it must be different, or you wouldn't have written this book.
Well, I would say that some of the goals and the values and the motivations may be similar. But how men and women get there, from my observation, is different. I've worked with over 10,000 employees preparing for what we call the non-financial aspects of their future. And this is an overgeneralization with many exceptions. But in general, men don't talk the same way as women. And again, this is at the risk of being slightly sexist. It's that women get to the issues faster. They will talk about the losses, the challenges, the ambivalence, the feelings. Men may get there, but I think they take a little longer to get there. And also, I think women are a little more communal, because in Project Renewment, women get together in small groups and talk about identity. What does productivity mean? Who am I without my business card, etc.? And so I think the goals may be similar, but the process and how one gets there is a little different between men and women.
What does work mean for today's women? I mean, is it a challenge, or is it just a way to provide for the family? Is it status? What is work?
I think that's the unique part, because today we have more women who truly identify with their work. And not only that, people identify them with their work. So it's not only self-identity, but that's how people recognize you. And when you move to that next chapter and that identity is no longer with you, you say, well, who am I? Where do I fit? You know. So work has become increasingly important, particularly to career and professional women.
In your book, you note that the relationships that women form in the workplace can be are as deep as family connections in some ways. And you know, so when it's time to leave the office, it can hurt emotionally.
It can. And that can also be true for men, because we actually spend more time at work than we often do than with our families. And so they have to, one says, well, you know, who am I? I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to create friendships outside the workplace. Well, when you leave the workplace, who was there for you?
You mentioned that money is part of the equation. Many women cannot afford to leave employment, but many others can. But they still have this sort of lingering worry in the back of their minds that, you know, they won't have enough cash in the bank to support themselves as they live longer. I mean, that's the fact. We are living longer, and they worry about financial security in later life.
They certainly do. But there are almost two aspects to that. One is the reality. Do I have enough money? But the other is, this is the first time in my 60 years, 50 years, that I don't have an income, that I'm not producing revenue, that I am drawing from my savings and my pension and my other sources of income. So that can be unsettling. In fact, some of our women said, it's not the amount of money, it's the fact I'm not earning money anymore. It's such a strange feeling. And I see that I'm drawing and not contributing. Mm. It's a new experience for many and somewhat unsettling.
You formed a group of women to explore some of these issues, and you combined these two words, retirement with renewal. Describe exactly what renewment is in your mind.
Well, renewment grew out of a dissatisfaction of some of our women to say, retirement just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't quite describe me. Renewment suggests vitality, rebirth, opportunity, something very positive, energetic, which doesn't seem to have the same feel to it as retirement. And renewment was an accident. You know, it's not something that we brainstormed. It just was kind of an accident speaking about retirement and renewal, and it came out renewment. And the women said, oh my gosh, that's the word. I feel comfortable with that. And now we have people saying, you know, I'm in the renewment phase of my life. That shocked us. But apparently the word feels comfortable.
So this project Renewment, you advocate forming groups. Is this group therapy for the women who need support in this transition of life?
No, and that's a really important distinction. You could call this almost a growth group. You know, we don't fix people, but it's for women who have had some influence over their past and want influence over their future, using their strength, their energy, their talent to create that next chapter. So the group also is not a traditional support group. However, it is supportive to one another. But it's much more a forum for discussion that is warm and friendly and kind, but it isn't a traditional support group and it is not therapy.
We're talking about Project Renewment, about retiring and women in retirement with the expert Helen Dennis. And she'll present the lecture, The New Retirement, A Unique Time for Professional Women, tomorrow night at 7 at the City Library in the main auditorium. That's 2nd East and 4th South here in Salt Lake City. If you'd like to join us with your comments or questions about the transition to retirement, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. Today on the program, retirement expert Helen Dennis is with us talking about what retirement looks like for working women and how that's different in some ways from the experience men undergo. She's coined the phrase Project Renewment, a combination of retirement and renewal, as a new way to define what retirement looks like for the first generation of working women. And Helen Dennis is coming to town to present the lecture, The New Retirement, tomorrow night here at the City Library. We'll give you details on that as we go. But you can join us if you like. Does retirement excite you or fill you with anxiety? How can you make retirement less busy and more meaningful? Give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255 or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Helen Dennis, in your book, you write about how some women retire and then they totally fill up their calendars with lunches and volunteer opportunities and appointments. And you call this the honeymoon phase of retirement.
Yes. And I guess, quite honestly, I didn't coin the phrase. It's from sociologist Robert Atchley. There is a desire to have a very filled appointment book or calendar, to be busy. When you meet someone and they say, well, how is retirement? And the thing's, oh, I'm so busy, I don't know how I ever found time to work. But the real question is, are we busy with things that matter? Or are these just time fillers? And it raises a larger question, which is, what's really important to me now? You know, what makes a day a great day? And if I don't have the structure, and I don't have the people that I used to have around me, and I don't have the goals that I used to have. So busy is important, but we say, so the answer, busy too. But what are we busy with? And I think that's a real question that have to be defined by women themselves.
How do you find out what is not busyness, but fulfillment? How do you find what gives you that kind of inner meaning?
That's not magic. And in fact, sometime at the life stage, ending the first career, going on to the next chapter, that we have, it's a new time. We haven't really had a chance to even ask ourselves, what's really important now? Have our priorities changed? Am I going to live the life I truly want to live? And what do I have to do to make that happen? And a lot of that discussion happens within groups. That's a very rich dialogue. And sometimes it's easier to do that in dialogue than in isolation, because it's a new kind of question. It may be something we asked ourselves at 22 or 23, but maybe we haven't asked ourselves that question for the past 40 or 45 years.
What is the trick with groups? Why do they work? I mean, why can't you just sit down and, you know, make a list of the things that make you happy and sort of self-evaluate? Why do you advocate for this kind of group process?
Well, if our being were only made up of intellect and logic, we could write a list and do a check, but we're made up of many components, and there is an emotional, psychological side to us. And in a group with what I call like-minded women, it doesn't mean you're from the same discipline or the same background, but the values and the aspirations may be similar. Something happens. There's a synergy. There is a connection that stimulates one's thinking. I can say every Project Renewment group, whether I help start a group or my own group, I walk away with a different thought. And it isn't because of my soul thinking. It's because I've listened, I've interacted, and I've learned something. So learning and self-awareness is all part of this group process. And I should also add, these women like each other. I mean, there's a real simpatico. And I'd like to add, I had one woman at 65 who said, you know, I never thought at my age I would be making best friends. You know, my best friends, really best friends, are from 20 and 30 years ago. But here I am in my mid-60s, I've made absolutely wonderful close friends. That was an unexpected outcome.
Speaking with Helen Dennis, the retirement expert, about this idea of renewment, a combination of retirement and renewal. Helen Dennis, what about your spouse? Say your significant other may be retiring before you do, or may have some expectations for you and your newfound freedom that you may not be aware of. Talk about how you negotiate personal relationships during retirement and maybe some of the wrinkles that women especially face.
Well, that is a new piece. And I can say because it's new, there are not a lot of established models. I mean, the literature says the ideal situation is if both mates retire at the same time. Probably the least desirable is if he retires first and she is going off to her work. And
why is that the least desirable?
I think it's because there might be some role changes. Now, he is at home. She is out, filled with a day of activity. And there are things to be done. There's grocery shopping, and there's the housekeeping, and there's the laundry, and there's the cooking. She may say, well, honey, you're home now. You have all this time. You can do it. And he can say, no, wait a minute. This is not what I signed up for. I'm not sure I want to do this, nor am I comfortable with it. So it's important to have a dialogue about who does what and the expectations. He may say, you know, I expected to have a playmate in my retirement years, and you're going off to the office. The important part is the dialogue. And the important part is to think about expectations, because this is something people don't even think about. But there are issues and there are concerns.
So relationships really do enter a new phase. And as women continue to work and probably work a little bit longer, that can complicate things.
Yeah, and I think your point's well taken. They may work a little bit longer because their career path has been different. They may have left the workforce, stayed home to raise the children, then maybe went back to school and re-entered the workforce later. And just when she says, I finally am at this point in my career, I absolutely adore what I'm doing, and he says, honey, I just got an offer I can't turn down for early retirement. Well, there you are. He's ready and she's not.
What about the family dynamics? You know, when you enter into your 60s and 70s, start thinking about retirement, what are the family expectations? Because, you know, you may have grown children and some grandchildren to take care of, too.
Uh-huh. That is a good one. It could very well be that the adult children says, oh, my God, I'm thrilled. My mother is retiring, and now I can absolutely count on her for carpooling, for helping out with the children, without some recognition that maybe mother wants to reestablish a different kind of next chapter, would rather be on call than making a commitment of 3 days a week for childcare. And that raises the issue for women of balance. You know, how do you balance what's important for you beside the family with your family commitments? And I should say, grandparenting is just wonderful. I mean, it is more than you can even imagine. But is it at 100% responsibility? That women have to decide for themselves. But sometimes those, and again, it's the expectations, and that's where dialogue is really important.
Again, speaking with Helen Dennis, the retirement expert, at what point do you know that it's time to hang it up? Is it from outside pressures in the office, or is it, you know, physically you're just more tired and you can't keep up the pace like you used to at the office? Is there the, you know, the cultural pressures to be young and vital and energetic in a workplace setting?
I think it's all of those. But I think if when going to your lab or your office or your courtroom or your classroom, that it's no longer fun, that it's really a grind, there is a sign. The other is, are there some signs from the environment that it's not as friendly as it used to be? Well, and I think... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, but aren't there laws in place, federal laws, to protect against age discrimination?
No question about it. It is illegal to discriminate by age for anyone 40 and over in employment and retirement decisions. However, that doesn't mean that the environment will always be what we call age-friendly. There are many ways of discouraging older adults from the workplace that are subtle and sometimes not so subtle. It could be not being invited to a retreat, having your office moved, not being part of the distribution list of vital information. So I think one has to be tuned. First, I think primary, one has to be able to afford to retire. And that is the keystone. But beyond that, I think it's important to be sensitive to the environment, what the messages are being sent, and then to yourself and say, if I have a choice right now, is this what I want to do with my life? And where am I in the life stage? I mean, if we say that, you know, at 65, a woman has on the average 20 more years of life ahead of her, you can say, is this how I want to spend my life? Am I really living the life I want? Am I looking at the options? And what's the next piece for me that can be, and I think this is the piece of renewment, that the future is not only as good as the past, but it can be even better.
Do you find that this is an easy transition? That in your experience, I believe that the group, the initial group that you formed, the Project Renewment Group in LA, I mean, met for a couple of years. Does it take about that long to sort of work out the kinks and feel comfortable in this new renewment skin that you've got?
You know, everybody is different. Everyone is different. But I think we can agree that this is a transition. And for some, it takes a little longer than others. And it's an ongoing process, because what you decide is perfect for me today may change in 2 years. And I think that's the important thing, that this is not the end zone. This is an ongoing process for people particularly who are not pleased with the status quo, either for themselves or their community or society. It's ongoing.
This group that you found, you found that the ideal group size was about 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 women, I believe. Right. How do you find these women to sit down and kind of cogitate on some of the issues that go with renewment?
Well, this is word of mouth because Project Renewment is not really an organization or a nonprofit. It's a grassroots movement, and in fact, it has grown virally because we don't market. We have a website, projectrenewment.com, but we don't market this. And now we have about 25 groups that we know of, mostly in Southern California, but they're in Washington, D.C., Chicago, Boston, Florida. They have just grown up, and it's really grassroots. And maybe it's a topic that the time has come where people just feel connected to this issue and gather around and pull together like-minded women. I will say in Southern California, my colleague and co-author Bernice Bratter really developed somewhat of a process where she invites a number of people to, quote, and I use this very loosely, to be interviewed, to make sure that women's expectations are really consistent with what Project Renewment is. For example, if one is depressed, really significantly depressed, that person may need a support group or therapy, not going to find the answers in Project Renewment. So it's important to look at, are the expectations aligned with what Project Renewment delivers?
And again, what are those expectations? What should they be? What is the goal?
That's a good question. The goal is, number one, to have a better understanding of oneself, to really look at the vast number of opportunities that are out there, and to really define what meaningful is at this life stage, and to expand oneself, to grow intellectually, to grow emotionally, to grow in relationships. And if that's a value, if that's a value of a woman, then that fits with Project Renewment. So it's constructive and productive change.
You say that, you know, this generation of working women is on the vanguard. This has never been done before in history, and so this is a new model of what retirement can look like. How do you think a generation or two down the line is going to approach retirement? Do you think it'll be different in any way?
Well, it depends how many years we think they're going to be in retirement. If people are going to work until 70, they may have a shorter period of time. Hmm. But my guess is with this particular cohort of women, I think the expectations will continue to be high for themselves, for their family, for their community.
Do you think retirement will be easier for women who have grown up in this environment where work is just a natural part of life?
Well, it depends how long they work. I still think because it's such a dramatic change that there will be subjects, concerns that will surface. And I do want to add, I mean, we're talking about this as women, for women, and up until now, I've always thought that men won't gravitate to this process. Well, our first number one group of Project Renewment women are going to be meeting with actually a male counterpart in Southern California called the Life Transition Group, made up of 25 highly accomplished men who are discussing the same topic. That's new. And I think as boomers move forward more and more look at retirement, I think we're going to have more dialogue, not only among women, but also among men.
Do you see a time when men and women will sit down together and talk about these issues?
Well, odds you should say that, because in June, we're going to do that. We're going to sit with the men and our about 8 or 10 of our women, and we're going to talk about the issue of identity. And it'll be fascinating to see if men and women approach this in a similar way, a different way, if they're looking for different outcomes. So I'm really curious how that's going to go. So, I know it will be a positive one, but we don't know what the dialogue will be.
Interesting. Helen Dennis, you're a professional woman. Do you look forward to your own retirement? And you know, through this renewment process, what do you think your retirement is going to look like?
Well, I have to say I'm not retired. And I absolutely love my work. And what I look forward to in retirement is greater flexibility. And I have a fair amount of it now because I'm self-employed. But I would say greater flexibility, but I would always like to stay involved in my field. The field of aging is a growth industry, so to speak. So I look at more flexibility. I look at increasing time with grandchildren. And a time to really pursue something different, which I haven't done, something that is totally different from my past experience. So that's the extent with which I can see my future.
Helen Dennis, she's a national expert in aging, retirement, and employment. She's co-author of the book Project Renewment, and she'll be presenting the lecture, The New Retirement, A Unique Time for Professional Women, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here in the main auditorium of the City Library. And if you have more questions, there are links on our website, kcpw.org. Helen Dennis, thanks very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up next, Steve Barry on his novels and his support for historic preservation. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.